Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God, we ask you to teach us, to lead us, and guide us, to bring us into all truth. Cause us to comprehend your word, to use your word for every part of our lives, every part of our lives. Let your word permeate in Jesus' name. And we'll give you the glory. We won't let anybody else think that they are the reason why we are blessed. We'll make sure that people will know it's because you are in our lives, that the blessings are coming to our families, to our relationships, to our homes, to our careers, to our jobs, to our investments, to our income, to our dwelling places. We'll be careful to give you that glory. And God, I ask you today in Jesus' name, teach us. You said you would. You said that we have no need that any man teach us, but by way of the Holy Spirit. So by way of the Holy Spirit, God used me like an instrument, like a tool, to bring forth to the people what you have for the people to hear. Make it clear so we can't misunderstand it. You said in your word, in all your getting, get understanding. So God, help us to get it in Jesus' name. Lord, you also let us know we already have victory. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to get it. You gave us victory just by being born again and receiving Jesus. We become the victor along with him, not victims any longer. So we take authority over the enemy because you said greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We know he comes according to your word to steal the word. He's a thief. But we cancel that assignment from these people receiving in this place and online as well. You will not do so, Satan. We bind you. We take authority over you. We call you deaf and dumb over these proceedings, these teachings in Jesus' name. And we cancel your assignment to steal the word that is the seed that brings the blessing and gives God the glory from these people. We cancel your assignment. You got to go somewhere else. We resist you. You must flee. Father, we thank you in advance for the blessings coming to each and every one. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not stopping there. I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer as well as a hearer, God's word in the book of James says that then I am blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing. So I expect faith to come to me as I hear the word and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. While you're being seated, turn to someone and tell them, listen carefully now. Listen very carefully. Okay, tell somebody, listen very, very carefully. Now, I want you to be able to go with me back to St. John chapter 11. And we're going to deal with this. We dealt with it on Wednesday, actually. And I want to deal with it today as well, because it's important for us to see faith in action. Now, we're studying the subject of faith, and I don't know of any other subject that is important to those that are believers in Jesus Christ, because whatever you receive, however you got into the kingdom, you had to use faith. In fact, I had a really good dad. My dad was very good, and that's probably why I got a lot of self-confidence, because my personal and physical dad was a real good guy to me. He was just really good. He was a military man, but he was very, very nice, and people liked him, and he had a great personality. He was a preacher, too, and so was my grandfather, but my dad, I just really, 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 really admired the way he was, just something else. And that helped me to be able to have some confidence in the things of God. And, you know, so it's easier for me to have faith than some kids that grow up without a father figure, because they're always, you know, sort of, you know, wondering what they're supposed to do or whatever, or who they really are. I didn't have any question about that. God had very early given me strong confidence, and part of that was because of my father. But then I met God the Father, even though he was there before my father, God the Father, and he instilled even more in my life and caused me to be even more confident, because I could be able to stand on his word and knew that it was not a lie, that I could be able to use that word and it would change lives. Well, we're going to stand on the word of God today. Let's go to, again, St. John chapter number 11 and verse number 1. St. John 11 and 1. Now, as we go through this, there are quite a few things that we're going to have to grab a hold of that will be principles that I will give to you as we begin to do in previous services. Now, as you get these principles, you need to write them down if you can at all. You know, if you've got some kind of electronic device, don't just use it to text people. Use it to make notes with. And if you've got a piece of paper and a pencil, or a pen, that's the reason why you have that. But St. John 11 talks to us about this man by the name of Lazarus. And Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and he had a family that Jesus knew also, two sisters. That's the main ones that are talked about here. Now, as I go through this in the King James Version, I'm going to break out some things that I believe are very important concerning faith and concerning being able to identify whether you have faith or not. Now, every person has faith. You have faith, okay? You have faith. You have confidence. And that's what I was talking about concerning my father. He helped me to have a lot of confidence. But then God the Father just took it, you know, to the bank. I mean, you know, he just pushed it all away to where I believe whatever God says. And thank God I was able to develop a relationship with God. And this is where many people miss it. They never develop a relationship with God to be able to hear from him. They think the only time they're supposed to hear from God is when they go to church and sit in a pew, and that's when they're hearing from God. No, you should develop a relationship where you can hear God's voice. God's voice should be one that you hear on a regular basis. I know there's a lot of strange voices out there. And if you've been dabbling in drugs or the occult or whatever, you probably have heard strange voices. But that's not God's voice. But the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, gives all of the people on the planet an ability to talk for the most part. Why wouldn't he talk? If you can talk to people and you spend hours on the phone sometimes or in person talking to people, why do you think God would not want to talk to you? A relationship has to have communications to it. And the communications really dictates really where the relationship is. And if communications, well, you know, communications, sex, and marriage makes or breaks a marriage. If the communications break down and the money is funny and then the sex ain't there, or it ain't where it should be, whatever, because there's no expression of love, then you got, I don't know what you got, okay? I ain't gonna tell you what you got. Maybe you know what you got, but it ain't love. Because God wants us to communicate with him. I refer back in my mind to our First Lady teaching concerning the secret place, because he wants a place that just you and him, a chamber, a place where you and him can go and spend some intimate time together. And that's where you, for me, that's where a lot of my faith comes from, to build this building from nothing. I had the faith to build this building, specifically how to do it, who even to be able to be involved with the financing of this building. Which property to look for, how to negotiate the property. My wife and I were the first ones to put down the earnest money for this property here that the church is on. We did it out of our personal funds, $5,000, to tie it up, because there were other commercial property. There was other commercial property investors and you know, those that wanted to own the property, and we had to move. You can't, you snooze, you lose in real estate. So we were able to do that. And the reason I had the confidence
to write a check for $5,000 to that real estate company is because of the fact that God had talked to me. I had faith that we would build this multi-million dollar building, state of the art, here in Tacoma, Washington, of all places. And I didn't care about what I looked like. In other words, like Abraham, who was old, and God told him, you're going to have a son, and you're going to actually father many nations. He couldn't care about the fact that he was old, and Sarah was old as well, especially for having a baby at 90. I love to hear the women respond on that. I just wait, you know, I just wait, because they're like, yeah, I know, Brother Shaw, I'm with you. Yeah. Okay, so we know that it takes faith. Well, it's hard to just get faith on Sundays. Please write that down. It's hard to get faith just on Sundays. Because if all you're doing is coming to hear someone speak about what God is doing, then you're not hearing God speak about what he's doing with you. I'll say that again. If you're hearing a person preach about what God is doing, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But you should hear what God is doing with you by spending time with God and developing a relationship with him where you hear his voice. That's part of Christianity. That's part of whether it's through dreams or other ways, but God wants to speak to you. I got that. And if he's not speaking to you, someone is. And if it's not him, who is it? Because we know it ain't God. You got to think about what you're listening to. And who it is that's speaking to you. I weigh what people say by their relationship with God many times. People will say things like, I'm making a decision now about something that we're going to do in the ministry. You'll know about it next week. And so I ask for feedback from leadership. The leadership that comes to me, I weigh their observation or feedback to me based on their relationship with God. If you don't know God very much, I don't listen very much. If it's clear you've got a good relationship with God, I've got a good ear for you. Because I don't feel like hearing from people that are confused. And there's a lot of confused people on this planet right now. So God wants us to have a relationship. And if you get nothing out of today's service, if we just say amen and go home right now, you need to know you must develop a relationship with God to where you hear him. No doubt. Tell him I told you to do it. Go home. If you want to get on your knees or you want to sit in your easy chair, whatever you do, go in the bathroom, lock yourself up. Wherever you go to prayer, wherever your secret place is, in the car, wherever it is, and say, God, that pastor said I need to hear from you. I'm not going to say anything until you do. Talk. And just wait. That's what I did. That's what I did. I went to God when I was messed up, working in the media, young family, young wife, got married when I was 19, she was 18. And I had messed things up pretty good. So I'm like, okay, if you're real, talk. First thing he said to me, started telling me how much he loved me. I said, what? And how much he's been waiting for me to develop this relationship with him. and that he had so many things. I mean, you know, we were so messed up in so many, financially. We knew this lady at a credit union in Fife, and we had borrowed money from her. And sometimes real slow on paying it back. We were down to the bottom of the barrel. And I went to that lady, I said, Narna, that was her name. We could use about $500 right now. She looked at me, she said, Don, I wouldn't loan you 10 cents. And she worked at the credit union. I said, I understand. I totally understand. And I did, because we were that far out. But do you know, God began to speak to my heart and tell me how he was going to bless my life. That not only are we blessed, but we're blessed to be a blessing. And he began to restore everything that the enemy had stolen from me. I didn't even believe what he was telling me at the time. I didn't even know it was really God. But God began to speak to my heart. And he wants to do that to you so that you can have faith that you know that you know that you know you know in your knower that God said this and it's coming to pass. Like, for example, like I was saying, I'm building this building. He told me to build this building from nothing. Commercial building in Pierce County. Pierce County is pretty tough to deal with. City of Tacoma ain't as bad, but you don't want to do anything in King County. But anyhow, Pierce County is hard. Okay, you got to really jump through some hoops to be able to build something, especially if you've never done this before. And so he told me to build this building. And that may not be a big thing to a lot of people, but when you have to do this with occupancy, you're going to have other people here, safety, life safety things and all kinds of stuff and wetlands. And, oh, man, there's just so much. And God guided me through all of that. But this was years and years and years after I developed a relationship with God to where when he says something, I believe it. Abraham did not have a Bible. He did not go to church to hear that he was supposed to leave his father's house and go to a place that God would show him. He had a personal relationship with God before Jesus was even on the scene. Now you have Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you got God the Father, you got a Bible, and you got a church. What's your excuse? I mean, you got the blood of Jesus. You got all this. And it's like, well, I can't hear God. That's funny. You can hear the devil. How many have heard the devil? Everybody put your hand up because you know you heard the devil because he was your daddy. Before you got saved. The Bible says he was your father. Now, Lazarus, this is St. John 11:1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. Now, Martha and Mary was Lazarus's sister. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, this lady got pretty close to Jesus. It says, therefore, he was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him or unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. He had a relationship with Jesus. What we're learning right with this first part of the scripture is faith responses. Write that down. We have to learn how to give faith responses to bad news. A lot of times, our natural reaction is to be able to go, woe is me, in some kind of way. But when bad news comes to us, we have to train ourselves in the Word of God to where we have a faith response versus a fearful response. Because a lot of times when people come to us with bad news, all of a sudden we jump into fear. Oh, no. Oh. That's not faith. That's fear. Faith, at least write this down, faith and fear are opposites. We put water on fire because fire needs oxygen to stay alive. And water smothers the fire because there's not enough oxygen in water to be able to feed the fire. A little science class for you. So you have to understand, water and fire are opposites. You can't have a bunch of, you can't have something burning, well, not in the natural. I mean, there's ways that you can do it. Our chemist right here knows all that kind of stuff, where you can have fire while you're sitting in the middle of the ocean underneath the water. But in a normal situation, water and fire are opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. You cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. So Jesus just heard something about someone. We know he loves them. He knows the family. He knows the sisters. You know what I mean? And so he knows their cousin. He knows everybody. And Mary and Martha sent this word over to him and said, he's sick. Let's see what Jesus' response is as we go along. It says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, we're talking about faith now. When Jesus heard that, when you heard that, what did you do? More importantly, what did you say? Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So the word of God should come out of you. You should be so full of the word that nothing else comes out. Fear doesn't come out of you because you're not full of fear. You're full of faith. You're the faithful. When he heard that, oh gosh, I got to take a pause still. I got to get you to get this. When he heard that, listen, let me say this to you. Sometimes our reaction to the news that we hear can change the outcome of that problem. If you respond with fear, you agree with what you think your imagination. I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations and Take Control of Your Thoughts. You've got to control what you think. Because what you think, you will eventually say. And sometimes you're saying it from your imagination. And we see things in our mind after people tell us things, and then we start saying those things, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs. They are in the power of the tongue. So if you say the wrong thing, you empower death. Say the right thing, you empower life. These are principles. And so we have to learn how to live by them. So when Jesus heard that, take Jesus out, put you in. It's your best friend. And you just heard he's sick, and they're looking really funny when they say it. He's sick. Jesus, you better hurry. He's sick. You've heard of these kind of things where it don't look good. That's your opinion. Anybody looking at you anyhow. See, because people can create that imagination in the mind and we can go there, but if we put our words to it, you're in trouble. Everybody getting this? When he heard that, he said, what did he say? This sickness is not unto death. He just canceled death. Now, either he's a truthful man or he's a liar. And this is how faith is. You got to make a decision that God's telling you the truth or a lie. People are having tough times with going to churches all over the country because they don't know if what they're hearing in Sunday morning services is the truth or a lie. Because the world is washing them with their worldly opinions. There's too many people with phones and social media that influence people. So when they get to church, it's hard to believe because you didn't hear all this other mess. And so believers are having tough times. It's even tough to become a believer now because you don't know what to believe. What do I believe? Do I believe? Should I believe? Or should, I don't know if I should believe that, Pastor, because I heard all the preachers wanted your money. That's a fat lie. I tell you, who does want your money? Walmart, Nordstrom's, 7-Eleven, Shell, Oil, let's see here, Amazon. You can have a relationship with this church without money. You can't have one with Amazon without money. You got to put something into that little machine you got in your hand or on your desk before they give you an exchange. They'll give you information about what they got, but they're not going to give you nothing for real until you put some money in. Money in, stuff out. Nothing wrong with that. That's business. That's how business operates. This sickness, Jesus makes a statement. This sickness is not unto death. How does he know? He just now found out. See, this is where faith works. You got to speak what God says in his word. He knows the word says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. He's going to use his words toward life. This lady right here, we got word that she had an aneurysm. 95% of the people that have an aneurysm in the brain die immediately. The other 5% usually don't recover very well. So we got word. Joyce, just her blood vessels, she couldn't operate. All of a sudden, her son found her at home. Somebody in the family calling all over the place, and they finally got to us maybe 20 minutes into this thing. Ambulance already picking her up, taking her to the hospital as fast as they can, as they call it. They used to call it four bells or priority. Their lights and sirens are flying to get her to the hospital. Word came to my wife and I. Oh, I got that one too. Word came to my wife and I. I'm trying to show you how you use this now, because this is how Jesus used it then. And immediately we started playing. We curse that thing. We come against that thing. We say, in Jesus' name, I curse you. You will not take her life. And we're getting our clothes on trying to get out of the house. Get on the freeway, we're praying again, right? Going past 38th and the freeway. Praying again. How's she doing? Calling people, trying to find out what's going on. Now we are saying, in Jesus' name, we call her healed. Get to the hospital, everything looks like she's still okay. She's coming back around. Checked on her after a while, after being at the hospital for a while. We know she's doing fine. She's eating donuts. Her favorite. Somebody went and got her donuts from her favorite donut place. Yeah. Miss Shorter did. She went. I forgot all about that. You know how that sugar gets your brain. So she's sitting there eating donuts. Did I speak that over you? I spoke that. She said, I spoke this. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. She's telling me, I forgot. She's telling me, that's what I spoke on her. But see, God operates and he will stand up for faith. Oh, heaven will send angels. You stand up with that faith. But it's very key what you say as soon as you hear it. Because Jesus changed the whole thing. And to show that it was changed, Jesus did a couple of other things. But I remember another situation. She's passed away since. She went on to be with the Lord. But for 20 years ago, 15 years ago, Ruth Knighton, one of our singers, my wife and I was up in the office. And we got a call on that one. Ruth has just gone to the hospital. She's got a stroke. She has a stroke. She's having a stroke right now. Get your clothes on, dropped all my work on my desk. Boom. In Jesus' name, we come against this thing. Flying to the hospital again. Head to St. Joe's. Got to the emergency room. Hi, how you doing, Pastor? Girl, what you doing up in here? I'm doing fine. They said I had a stroke. I don't know if I did or not. You know how Ruth was. I don't know. They might be lying. School teacher at school over here at this school that used to be McElveen, that I used to go to, actually as a junior higher. And so she's in the classroom, had a stroke. She had faith for coming back. to where she started being the main one to read on Wednesday night when we have a person read the scriptures for us. And sometimes she couldn't get it back together. She missed a couple of words or whatever. But that lady kept working on that, working on that, working on that, because she was a school teacher. But she had faith in her heart that she was going to start reading clearly and she was going to start speaking clearly. After that process happened for a little while, after a while, it was like Ruth always remember everything anyhow that happened when everybody forgets it. She was back to being Ruth Knighton. That lady used her faith. Now, it wasn't instantaneous. Yeah, the faith stopped the thing from happening or going any further. But then she had to keep using her faith and keep using her faith, keep using her faith every Wednesday. Then she started singing. She sung some of the most beautiful songs we ever heard in this church. Many of you remember. At first, she couldn't remember the words. But after a while, using her faith, I'm getting this back, Pastor. I'm telling you. And after a while, she was singing like a bird again. She used her faith. How valuable is faith? Faith is something we need to be able to make sure we have an inventory of. Please write that down. I need to check my inventory of faith. You and I need to make sure we've got a good inventory of faith. This sickness is not unto death. Well, do you think he can be able to use his opinion to say that? No, he is the Son of God using the word of God, and he's speaking God's word over that situation, over Lazarus. And you can do the same thing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But you know what we do? We waste our tongue talking about stupid stuff. Talking about negative situations that don't even happen. We got the biggest, stupidest imagination sometimes. We waste our brain and waste our time. You only have so much, and you don't know how much it is. See, because some of us have a vision of living like a loser. We have a relative that died early, or somebody that was negative, and you saw their life, and they're molding yours, and you're trying to copy them. They went to hell, you think, so why not you? That's not how God has a new example for you. His name is Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, for the glory of God, for the glory. How can sickness be for the glory of God? Because you're not going to stay sick. I say that to many people that I've seen healed of cancer, different ones in this congregation, healed of cancer. This sickness, not unto death, yeah, because I can receive it in my spirit because I got a relationship with God. After starting that relationship, it's developed where God can speak to me, and I believe what he says. Am I 150%? No. Sometimes, I missed it. But God knows how to be able to direct me by what he's saying, just like he directed Abraham. That's faith. He's the father of faith. So we have to follow his process. We should follow our fathers. Abraham is the father of faith. So if we're going to learn about faith, we have to learn about him. We'll go back to that next week. But it's for. See, you have to understand, God never brings you out and just leave you in limbo. Ask the children of Israel. He's got to bring you out to bring you in. He'll never bring you out and leave you drowning in the Red Sea. He'll never bring you out and let the Egyptian armies attack you and kill you. He'll never deliver you. You're using your faith unless he brings you to a better place. Say, I'm going to a better place. Say, I'm going to a better place. And you don't have to die to get there. The better place that God has for us can start right now for you. God can do you better than you can do yourself. Actually, he loves you more than you love yourself. You got things you hate about yourself that you did or you that happened to you. Some of you were molested. Some of you were prostituted. And you hate yourself. And that's the reason why you do what you do, because you hate being you. But I'm here to tell you, why don't you die of yourself and come alive in Jesus. Don't live that life anymore. Don't live those memories. When the devil tries to bring it back to you and say, remember what you did, just remind him of his future. Do you remember what's going to happen to you? You are going to the lake of fire forever. You will never get out of that place. You will burn forever, and your time is almost up. Your foolishness will be over. Those that you deceive, you will deceive no more. It's for the glory of God. So God allows some things to happen so he can get glory. See, a lot of times we see people get sick, and I got to take time with this. The Lord told me to break all these things down, and we're going to take some time to do it. It's going to take more than today. Sometimes we see people go through sickness, and we go, why, shut up. You don't have the mind of Christ totally. Okay? We see through a glass darkly right now. So you just shut up and just believe. Jesus said it this way, only believe. Don't do nothing else. Just believe. So it says, it's for the glory of God. Well, how can it be glory? The only way is this man has to get healed. Well, the problem is he died. Now what do we do? Well, he's going to have to raise him from the dead too. So it says that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. Some of the things that God brings you out of is only, it's not even really for you. Yeah, you got out of that lawsuit. You thought they were going to take everything you had and God delivered you. You won the case. It wasn't just for you. It's so you can give God some glory. Well, how do I give God some glory? Won't you tell somebody? Stop sitting there like you got the best attorney in the world. That guy didn't even know what he was doing. He had no idea what he was doing. God had to guide him all along, nudge him consistently. Say, do this. He was a lazy attorney. He didn't want to do the work. He didn't want to study. He barely made it out of class. It's God that delivered you. But what if God didn't deliver me? Listen, I'm telling you, it's God that delivered you. Even if he didn't, give him the glory anyhow. Because he's so good to you. But God is the one that delivered you. I said God delivered you. God set you free. So he can receive glory, glory, glory. What is it going to hurt for you to give glory to God? What does it hurt for you to say, God did this for me? What does it hurt? Is it just your pride you got to hold on to like you did it all, you smug acting looking thing? Drop it. Put your hands up. Feet back and spread them. No, I'm just kidding. Put your hands up. And say, God, it was you. Thank you. I give you the glory. Say, I give you the glory. Everybody say, I give you the glory. Yeah, some of you used to put your hands up and then going against the wall. That's what I was talking about earlier. I ain't talking about that. Okay, feet back and spread them. Now, to prove that Jesus didn't have a problem with Lazarus and that he wanted him to be able to come along and come back and be healed, there's a statement here right after that. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So whatever's going on, see, and this is what I'm saying. When you have faith, you're going to believe for people. Well, we better get the casket ready. Huh? Well, wait a minute. We just heard they just got pneumonia. Or I thought about that, Kathy, when I just said that. What is she, 94? Dr. Betty Price, our mom in the faith, just had pneumonia. 94 years old, but she's a woman of faith. She beat that pneumonia to death. It died. She's walking around healed. 94 years old. Talk to me, somebody. But usually, well, you had a great time on earth. It's time for you to be able to be one of the flowers in God's garden. Yeah, he wants another flower in his garden. You liar. You just ain't got no faith. You don't believe God for nothing. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. The Bible says, from such, run away. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I don't want to be around you because your faith is going to kill me if I let it. So we have to have people around us that have faith. Jesus loved Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus. No question. And we'll find out where that love goes next week when we get back together. All right? Did you receive something today? Say this with me. Say, God, thank you that I have the ability to receive faith. I heard that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, stand up. Let's make this a declaration. Let's just make this something. What was that again? She's 92 years old. Okay, well, that's old enough for me. Amen. We've just had some news about different people. In fact, a young NASCAR race car driver, 41 years old, just died. Not that they didn't have faith, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a serious thing to get pneumonia, especially at 92. But God is able to heal. Through faith. Say, through faith. We have so much we need to deliver on this, but let's make a confession. God put in my heart to have you make it bold, make a bold confession. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? So let's make a bold confession. Come on, some of you former military folks, let's talk like we're barking out orders, all right? Say this, say, God, thank you for causing me to be able to hold on to your faith. Right now, I make a decision that faith is what I'm speaking. I'm talking like God talks. From now on, I will consider the word before I speak. God, shut down the fear in me. Build in me the faith that will take me forward. God, right now, I declare death and life are in the power of my tongue, and I will use it to the glory of God. God, allow me to be a person of faith, believing you. I cast off unbelief. I throw out doubt. I throw away fear. And I'm standing in faith. As I receive your word, I will stand on it and give you glory in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's get excited about it in Jesus' name.